Thank you. I'm going to be using the NIV, but I'm also going to use the Message tonight as well, because the way it expresses it is absolutely wonderful. I'm losing my voice a little bit. Jemima, would you like to come and read from the Message for us as well? I've got it here. Sorry, excuse me. Too much shouting all day, I think. Here we go, it's this side. And let's listen to it. Exactly the same passage, yeah. Fabulous, thank you.
Hallelujah, I give thanks to God with everything I've got. Wherever good people gather and in the congregation, God's works are so great, worth a lifetime of study, endless enjoyment. Splendor and beauty marks his craft. His generosity never gives out. His miracles are his memorial. This God of grace, this God of love. He gave food to those who fear him and remembered to keep his ancient promise. He proved to his people that he could do what he said. Hand them the nations on a platter, a gift. He manufactures trust and justice. All his products are guaranteed to last, never out of date, never obsolete, rust proof. All that makes and does is honest and true. He paid the ransom for his people. He ordered his covenant kept forever. He's so personal and holy, worthy of our respect. The good life begins in the fear of God. Do that and you'll know the blessing of God. His hallelujah lasts forever.
So as I said, tonight we're going to break it up with having testimonies and songs between each part. But whenever I write a sermon, it doesn't matter that Vicky and Ian and I have maybe served for 30 plus years each in a church. I still believe that each time we pick up God's word, we've got something to learn, haven't we? And one of the practices I always try and do is to pick up a commentary and read it alongside what I'm also going to be preaching on, so that I can just stretch my mind a little bit. And you know what? With this particular psalm, it was really interesting. Some of the little facts that I learned that I thought I'd share with you tonight. Things that we absolutely miss in the English. And so as I picked up the commentary, it said about how this psalm and the following two all start with the word hallelujah. They're psalms which are about praising our God. And also, this psalm is an acrostic with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it starts with what in our language would be an ABC all the way to Z. So each of the lines start with a letter, a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, giving it its structure. This is what we miss, isn't it, when we've got it in another language and it's been translated. So I thought I'd just share that with you tonight, because I thought it was interesting, that kind of poetic form, isn't it, using something to then speak about. So this beautiful psalm is all about God's goodness and seeing that goodness in the work that he does. And so it starts off, as I said, with hallelujah, or praise the Lord. And it says, I'll give the Lord, I extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Or in the message, it says, I give thanks to God for everything I've got, wherever good people gather and in the congregation. It's that sense of coming together, isn't it? Of people coming together to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That immediate introduction. This is what the theme of the psalm's about. It's about praising our God. Does that put a smile on your face tonight? It should do, shouldn't it? Praising our Lord. Worshipping him. Does that delight you? To worship our God? To bow down before him? And what's special about this in that first verse, it tells us to do it together. Isn't this what we missed during COVID? It was good to be online and to meet together and touch base. But how good was it when we came back together as a congregation and we could sing God's worship together? We could listen together and praise him together. And so here in this psalm, it talks about doing it corporately. Let's worship our God. Let's praise him. Let's tell one another of his goodness. Why? because our God is good and is worth talking about, but also to encourage our hearts, to spur one another on, to help each other, to remember God's wonders. And there's that sense of praising God with everything we've got and everything that we are, with our whole beings. Will we stop tonight and praise our Father? Will we give him our hallelujahs? Will it put a smile on our face and in our hearts? I wonder, what would you stop to thank God for tonight? What would be your praise? And I've asked Carmen to come and share to start with. But remember, the mic is open this evening for anybody, and I can bring it to you if you'd rather stay where you are. But Carmen's going to start us off.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to read Psalm 103, 1-5. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." I always have a story to tell. When Pastor John asked me last Sunday if I could give a testimony on praising God, I immediately went home and I started jotting a few things down. I went home this afternoon, I looked at what I jotted down, and I thought, this looks like thanking God rather than praising God. So I thought, let me have a little word with Google. And I asked Google, is praising and thanking the same thing? And Google told me that praising is about God's attributes. I won't tell you what thanking is because you all know what thanking is. Okay, so I've written down what I'm going to say because I don't want to repeat myself. I praise God because he's our loving Heavenly Father. He is our Savior. I praise him because he's from everlasting to everlasting. He's awesome, he's majestic, he's gracious, he's merciful. He's immortal, he's invisible, he's wise, he's immeasurable. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There is none like him. He's indescribable, he's faithful, even when we are faithless. He's understanding. He's our great physician. He's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He loves us with an everlasting love. He provides and protects us. He's compassionate. His love is unconditional. He's our shepherd. I praise him for his creation. I praise him because he's our promise keeper, our miracle worker, and our light in the dark. I praise him because he alone is worthy of our praise. There's so many other things I could praise him for. And then I thought I'd thank him anyway. So I thank God because he loves me. He died to give me the second chance of eternal life with him. I thank him for my life. I thank him for his word that teaches me how to love myself and to love others likewise. I thank God for the privilege of prayer. I thank him for our senses. I thank him for my family, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank him for my home, my job. I thank him for food and for clothing. I thank him for Romford Baptist Church, for the friendship and fellowship that we have. I thank God that I can talk to him about anything and everything. I thank God for the good and the bad times, the happy and the sad times, sorrowful and painful times. I thank God for health and for strength each day. And you know what? I just thank God for everything. There's nothing that I do not thank God for. But I couldn't write everything down here. But I thank God that despite all my faults, he still loves me.
Thank you, Carmen. I wonder whether anyone else has something they want to praise God for tonight. Is there anybody I can bring the mic to you? Or you might just want to shout out a single word or two. Yes, Grace. Do you want me to bring the mic? Or...
Yes, please.
Thank you, Vicky. Oh, look, I've got a whole crowd. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Mine is... still to praise the Lord and still to be thankful as well. I think a few months ago, I said the same thing regarding nurses, not especially agency nurses, not getting shifts to, so enough shifts to do. The same thing still occur now, it's not really as we used to get the shifts. But in spite of all that, it's over 8 months or more now, if I really know the count the months back. But in spite of all that, God has been faithful. Even in, you know, like we are as Nigerians, you have to send money home during the Christmas for your parents, your brothers and sisters, just to show them love anyway. That December was really, by the 1st of December, I was like, oh my God, how will I do it this month with all the money to be sent home? But God has really been faithful, to be sincere, because I didn't even know how I was able to send the money home, and I'm still able to meet up all my other obligations here, and my bills were paid fully. So I really thank God for everything. Thank you.
Amen. I remember when that song was really popular, I think I was early 20s, and I used to find it so hard to sing that first line. In fact, most of the time I didn't, because it was like, I give you all the honour, and I felt so poor and so rubbish in what I was able to offer and to thank God for. How can I give him all the honour that's due his name? But you know what? Like Carmen said, we have so many things that we can praise God for and that we can thank God for. And we have to give him everything that we can, don't we? And by that falling on our knees, even if it's in our minds and with a heartfelt worship, that's what God longs to hear, doesn't he? And so we're going to move on to verses 2 to 4 of Psalm 111. And it says this, "Great are the works of the Lord. They're pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He's caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate." They're beautiful verses, aren't they? How amazing is our God that he's put us together, that he's put his creation together, he's put his world together. And in the message, it uses these words, God's words are so great, worth a lifetime of study, endless enjoyment. Splendor and beauty mark his craft. His generosity never gives out. His miracles are his memorial. This God of grace, this God of love. For a scientist whose life work is to study God's world, who try to understand it. For those of you who remember Paul Miller, how many years had he spent studying? He said one day, we kept people's hands up, do you remember? And we were like, who studied for 3 years? Who studied for four? I don't know how many he got to. Was it 8 or 9? It was a lot. But he was a physicist and absolutely loved trying to study the world and the space and all in it, trying to seek answers, trying to understand the questions even that are raised. And I love that bit in the message where it says that God's word has provided, God's nature has provided a lifetime of study, a lifetime of study. And then it carries on, endless enjoyment, it says. Isn't that amazing words? A lifetime of study, of endless enjoyment, as we keep seeking out, trying to understand the depth of God's creation, of how it's so far beyond our understanding. And as humans, we have that something inside of us, don't we, that longs to know more, longs to understand, longs to learn and to grasp and to get hold of. Today, even still, scientists are seeking answers. And as they continue to understand things, I think if you speak to the scientists, they say it makes them so aware of how little they still do understand. We found new breakthroughs, and yet with so much we don't understand. And so God's creation made from his own wisdom. It's there for us to explore, to marvel in, to enjoy. For those of us who aren't scientists, I expect we get out in the great outdoors and enjoy traveling maybe, or we enjoy a walk in the park, or we enjoy running in every single park run you can find around the world. Sorry, walking, limping, hobbling. You've done it though. How many are you up to now? 360 something. Isn't it wonderful when we can go places and we can see things? Hayley loves London and exploring a new city and seeing new places. And as we are able less and less to see places, I'm so aware with Dad's inability to see things now that he can't enjoy seeing that sunrise that we had even this morning. And yet, he's seen it. He's been blessed with being able to see it in the past. And you can hold on to that and the wonder of it, can't you still? Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. Sorry. God's deeds, the things that he does, are glorious. They're majestic. Or as the Message describes them, his craft is full of splendor and beauty. He's all-powerful. His love, he is full of grace and warmth and wisdom. God's deeds are awesome. His righteousness endures forever. He's always generous, and that generosity will never run out. Hallelujah. Time for another testimony. Does anybody here want to share about how God has been so good, or how his creation makes you feel, or how you want to delight in him tonight? Has anybody got something they'd like to share? Thank you.
I just, those words in where it says about redemption in that psalm, and I just thank the Lord for my salvation and his goodness to me. I thank him also, as you said, about nature. I look out the window at night time, see the moon there. You know, it's sometimes full moon and other, you know, half moon and things like that, and enjoy the birds in the daytime, you know. And I thank God for family and for bringing my husband and myself together. We've been together for about 51 years now, so... I just praise him that we're both journeying on the same path with our Lord. And thank you for our family, children. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm coming, Jemima. I want to praise God for his faithfulness and his love towards us. By this time last year, Johnson had been diagnosed with cancer. And I remember very well all the sleepless nights and the pain. And today, I want to say from the depths of my heart that I really thank God for healing him. And he has given us opportunity to spend more years together, which I'm very, very grateful for. And it has brought our family closer. The children and the grandchildren, everybody, you know, being close together even more. And I thank God for his healing. Although there are still some things that we are going through, but he's been faithful in always. So I praise his name this evening.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks. I think the part that most amazes me about the universe is that there's more stars in the sky than grains of sand on every beach in the world. And when you think about it, even just at Walton Beach, I can't even count the grains of sand that are in my hand.
Thank you. I remember very clearly the first time I ever went snorkeling in Kenya, and sticking my head under that water and seeing so many different colours of fish immediately, and coral, and it was like a whole nother world that I'd never even seen. And just that realization, it just again just made me so sure that God is so real, isn't he? And he's so good. He could have made every fish black and white or the same color as the sand, a nice beige. But he didn't. They're so fantastic. They're so amazing. How can people not believe in God? He's incredible. And, how could even one fish, even one of the boring black and white ones that chose to bite my finger because I had a bit of bread in it, which stupid idea. How could even that happen through a big bang and evolution? They've got more faith than me. I think God is incredible and he's done amazing things. So verses 5-9. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He's shown his people the power of his works, given them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provides redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Here, in this little bit of the passage, the psalmist reminds the reader of the faithfulness of God to his people over the centuries, not just in the today, but looking back, how God has been forever faithful, reminding them of the Exodus and how he brought them out, how he provided for them, how he led them to that land that he'd promised to them. God met their every need. He reminds them that his trustworthiness is unchanging. He reminds them how he's worked across history, how he's worked through miracles, how he is able to do all things because he's God. And as God, he is in control. Because he is the Father who has written and dictates history. Because God knows the beginning from the end, because he has written history. He was the author of history back then. He's the author of history now in our day. And he's offering to lead and guide us as we head into the future, which to us is unknown, but to God, he knows the beginning from the end. He keeps his promises. Our God is completely faithful. He's completely true. He paid that ransom for us. Why? Because he cares about us. He loves us and he wanted to save us. He made an eternal covenant with anyone, any single person who would trust in him. I love the way that the message writes that final line in verse 9. It says this: God, he's so personal and holy, worthy of our respect. He's so personal, so worthy of our respect. Our God is a God who wants to be known by us. However small and insignificant we are and we feel, God wants us to know him, and he knows us inside and out, and yet he still loves us. Isn't that good? He's true. He's provided us with salvation. He's totally trustworthy. He is good, shouts the psalmist. I can't quite shout it tonight, but I whisper, hallelujah. Andy's going to come and share a testimony with us.
Okay. I think I'll just stay here. Yeah, God is faithful despite our unfaithfulness. I was just thinking now, no matter how faithful we are as individuals, no matter how faithful I am as a person, I can't get it right all the time. And I have those moments where I'm not faithful to God, and yet God is faithful to me. He gives me good things. I think back two and a half years ago, as Rhianna and I were thinking about coming back from Moldova, as we were expecting Caleb to be born. Just all of the unknown and circumstances and not knowing what was going to happen, how things were going to turn out, God was faithful. And he is always faithful. That is who he is. And I find that such an encouragement to remember that God has been faithful. And because he is the I am, and because he said, I will be who I will be, we can trust that he is faithful for tomorrow. For the unknown that I go into, that you go into tomorrow, for the things that seem insurmountable, God is faithful. And all we have to do is remember that he has been faithful till now and put our trust in the fact that he will be faithful tomorrow.
And so we come to the final verse of the psalm. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We hear this many times across the Bible, don't we, in words of wisdom. It's the acknowledgement of God's character. We were talking about it at home, about how can we fear God when we're told to love him and that he's our shepherd and our saviour. And yet there needs to be that sense of awestruck wonder and awe of this God who created all things, who's all-powerful, who's all-knowing, who's everlasting. God, his character as creator, as redeemer, as provider, these things should instill in us that deep reverence. Like at the beginning of the psalm, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But it's a reverence mixed with delight, mixed with gratitude, filled with trust in our wonderful, awesome, amazing Father. When we believe in God like this, when we worship him with that kind of freedom, then we'll know the blessings of God in our lives, don't we? Then we know how to love. Then we know how to serve. We know how to follow him. And that's what we were talking about in the Causeway this afternoon with our group, was about following God and how we need to follow him and how it's good to do it together to inspire one another. And that's what Testimony Night is about. It's about encouraging one another to remember, to recall. And Annette shared her story about how God called her to Brazil and how he provided for and used her as a missionary for so many years. And yet she'd sat here before that thinking that she was all right. She was a Christian. She didn't need to do anything else. And yet by the end of that service, God's call on her life changed everything and led her to follow God. And it was through Annette's kind of testimony, her life when I was a child in this church, that it made me open to God's call and his direction. And so I'm forever grateful to Annette and to Ken Yates' sister, who also went from this church as a missionary. So as we know the blessings of God and as we share them, as we live it out, as we follow and serve him, that's when our whole lives turn from being self-centered and seeking what we need to one of worship of our God, isn't it? Our lives become living for him, like we heard from your testimony tonight, that actually this time last year was so awful. And yet through it all, God was there. God provided, he met with you, he helped you through every single day. And you come out of that with only one thing that you can do, which is to praise our God, because he's been faithful, he's been good. Hallelujah. And so Cheryl is going to come and share with us. And this is everyone else's last chance to get ready. If there's something you want to share that can bless and encourage others tonight, please do so after Cheryl's finished. Thank you.
Okay, so I also did what you did, and I've written it down so that I don't forget or repeat, you know, anyway. So I thought I'd start right at the beginning. So having grown up in a Christian home with very involved parents, I was used to being taken to church and church events from when I was a few days old. But this didn't make me a Christian. What it did do, however, was it gave me the habits, knowledge about, and heart for God. And when I was 7, I made the personal decision to ask Jesus to be my savior. And so, you know, through life at different times, but when making life decisions, most of the time, my guiding influence is asking, is this what God wants me to do? Is this the right thing? I'm not saying I get it right all the time, but, you know, that's having God in my life is my anchor. Throughout my formative years at school and university, I was very involved in Christian activities, including Christian Union, well, there it was called Students Christian Association, church youth clubs and Youth for Christ. So as a result, I went on many camps and beach missions and weekends away. And being a Christian influenced the music I listened to, the books I read, and the friends I made. In fact, I married one of my university friends. Not sure if that was a good idea. No, it was. and I've continued to try and serve Jesus and share his love with people around me, both in what I say and how I live. I'm so pleased also that Amber, our daughter, has also found Jesus and chosen to follow him. And she's has a wonderful Christian husband. And it's good to see them living for Jesus and being faithful to him throughout the challenges and the joys that life brings them. And it's when I look back that I realize how much God has blessed my life and been faithful in the big and the small things. God doesn't promise to make everything easy, but he's been there to comfort me when things seem too difficult to bear. He's put people in my life to come alongside me and to share my life experiences. For example, I've got a wonderful friend who I've known for many years. I'm losing my breath here. And even though she no longer lives close by, we meet to catch up, share and pray through the things that we're going through. So sometimes it's happy news, sometimes not so happy. But we manage to pour our hearts out. And we'd meet up in London for lunch and have been known to pray and cry on the embankment overlooking the Thames or even on a bench in Charing Cross Station. We continued on WhatsApp video chats during the and after COVID, and we've been sharing and caring for about 20 years now. And how amazing that God made our paths cross, that he ensured that we met each other, because without those deep friendships, with those deep friendships, it makes life smoother. I've also had some wonderful Christian neighbors who were like family, and God has blessed me through their lives. And we're also blessed with our family at church, where we're able to find love and support and likewise support others. Another time where I remember God's presence, knowing God's presence deeply, was when we were flying back to South Africa for my father's funeral and wondering how I'd be able to cope with such a long flight and so much time to mull over everything. Yet I was able to sleep on the plane and face the difficult days ahead, and I know that I had people praying for me at the time. So God doesn't take away grief, but he comes alongside us to bear it. Sometimes we think of the small things, or sometimes we think the small things aren't worthy of needing prayer. You know, we think we can sort things out. And one moment that taught me the error of my ways. On Amber's wedding day, we couldn't find the keys to our hire car. And obviously we were away, so we didn't have spares. And Bernd and I searched high and low in the cottage, and we could not find them anywhere. We had my mother looking. There was just no keys to be found. And so how were we going to get the bride to the church, you know? And eventually we stopped, and we just realized that actually we couldn't do this alone. And we prayed for help finding them. And it was like a miracle. No, it was a miracle. We immediately went to the bedroom and looked under the bed again, because we'd done it many times, and there they were. You know, so it's the big things and the small things, and over the years, through the ups and downs, the joys, the fears, the disappointments, the uncertainty, Jesus has been there for me, and as a friend, as a guide, and as my saviour, and I just thank him for his faithfulness through all those years. Thank you.
Would anybody else like to share? It's a final opportunity. Everyone's smiling at least, that's good. Our God is good. And tonight, as we leave this place, I pray that each one of us might be able to look back over our lives and see how God has been at work and have that testimony that we can just stop and say, thank you, God. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Saviour. Thank you for always being faithful. Times have been hard, like Cheryl said, but God has been faithful in those times. He's been with us. He's been walking with us. He helps us through those hard times. He surrounds us with other people who love and care for us too. And in those good times, what blessings we've received from our Father, haven't we? Our God has been good to us. Every step of our way, our Saviour leads us. Why? Because our God is good. Free to see. I'm just going to read that psalm one last time. Hallelujah. I give thanks to God with everything I've got. Wherever good people gather and in his congregation. God's words are so great, worth a lifetime of study, endless enjoyment. Splendor and beauty mark his craft. His generosity never gives out. His miracles are his memorial. This God of grace, this God of love, he gave food to those who fear him. He remembered to keep his ancient promise. He proved to his people that he could do what he said. Hand them the nations on a platter, a gift. He manufactures truth and justice. All his products are guaranteed to last, never out of date, never obsolete, rust-proof. All that he makes and does is honest and true. He paid the ransom for his people. He ordered his covenant kept forever. He's so personal and holy, worthy of our respect. The good life begins in the fear of God. Do that and you'll know the blessing of God. His hallelujah lasts forever. Amen.